You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. Well, I just don't seem to get that right. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Your Ultimate Life here on LA Talk Radio. I'm really excited about having you here with me. And I put that up here on the video because I want you to see it, yourultimatelife.ca. It's a URL not to sell you anything, because I don't do that, but it's to give you something, and it's to give you some tools that I have that are for you to use. Now, I would say that they're free because they don't cost money, but they do cost effort and time, and they do cost commitment. But, you know, if you want to create a life that is as expansive as this big room behind me, then it's going to take effort and energy and time. Now, I've spent 16 years building a coaching practice with clients all around the world, and I love it. It is my ultimate life. Now, I define this ultimate life business that I talk about every week with myself or with the people that are my guests. Last week, we had Sean Miller, who's been a client for a decade, and he's done some incredible things. But we talk about the ultimate life in terms of living a life, having a life experience where every day's fun. And that doesn't mean that, you know, the roof doesn't leak or the tire doesn't go flat, but it's a choice to live life as an adventure. Even when grumpy things happen, even when there's struggles, even when there are difficulties, right? And when you choose to take a hold of life that way, to say, this is my life and I'm going to enjoy it, the ups and the downs and the struggles, I'm going to treat them all like there's some special information, experience, or excitement in here, everything changes. Now, that might sound like some Pollyanna stuff, and in some circumstances, it might feel like that. But let's talk about it for a minute, about what this really means. Right now, in my physical body, I've got some problems. Got some back problems, and my right leg is numb part of the time, and I limp, and some other things, right? And I'm not complaining, so don't hear any complaint. No complaint. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Love my life the way it is. And every morning I wake up and I have to decide, you know, how much pain I'm going to have today. And I've got, you know, appointments, and maybe they're going to give me some shots, and, you know, all the things that you do to handle that kind of stuff, whatever it is, right? Mine happens to be lower back and right leg, but whatever yours is, I can go at that with joy, thanksgiving, and fun, or I can be pissed off all the time. I can be angry walking around my house or the store that my leg hurts and my back is a problem, and how come they can't fix it, and how come this and how come that, and what's wrong with God that he gave me this busted body. I could do that. And there have been times in my life when I have acted like that about circumstances. That didn't work out like I wanted. They suck. That sucks. But when I have done that, I've never enjoyed my life. I've had momentary release by raging, right? But I've never had fun. I've never felt like, oh, this is a fun life. So I tried a new thing. I said, you know what? What would happen if I just took everything that happens around me, whether it's my back, leg, or a leaky roof or whatever, and said, oh, look what happened. What can I do with this? And chose to be positive instead of angry, to be looking for solutions instead of blaming for problems. Let me tell you what I experienced doing that. No, it's not a silly way to look at life, because I notice when I do that, that I solve problems quicker. I notice that people are more helpful, and so resources come in more easily. I notice that I don't struggle with, you know, upset stomach and negativity. I don't struggle with those emotions. So this whole show I've been we've just passed the year. We're moving into our second year now. It is all about helping you, the listener, understand what I have learned to add to what you already know about how to create this life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Do you have a life purpose? I do. Now, there's lots of pieces to it, but my purpose is this year, and it changes all the time, but my purpose this year is to help 250 million people to understand, either completely or more than they do, that you, and help you as one of the 250 million, understand that you're a capable person. You're a divine being. By divine, I mean created with intention and capability. And if you want to use religion, you're created by God. So if I know I'm a divine being, I'm created by God, therefore I'm not created to be failure and a mess, even if I'm in a mess right now, that changes how I think about it. So my mission this year is to help 250 million people. That's why I'm doing this show, to reach as many as I can. I would encourage you, if you find this uplifting, if you find this exhilarating, if you find this encouraging, to share it with someone. Because you're being loving and kind when you share positive thoughts with others. It's easy to be negative. All you have to do is turn on the TV, any station. Now, you know, in the United States right now, the presidential stuff's heating up, and there's another primary this coming weekend. And everybody's predicting this, that, and the other, and you know, all kinds of blaming and angry. And I'm not going to talk about politics now because I don't think it would be helpful in helping you reach your goals. I don't think it would be helpful in helping you realize how powerful and important you are, because no matter where you are right now, no matter if you're driving and commuting, no matter if you're in a job that you hate, no matter if you're out of work, wondering where your next work is going to come from, that doesn't change the fact that you have skills, talents, that you have life experience that's all valuable. What most people do, and I used to be doing this all the time, is I used to think the circumstances, the world and others, owed me a path forward, owed me the opportunity to use my gifts, my talents, the skills I've developed, that was somehow owed. And I've learned the hard way by falling on my face 1,000 times. Nobody owes me anything. And nobody owes you anything either, period, end of conversation. So if you start, and there's nothing to be mad about there, no one is coming. There is no cavalry. No one's going to ride over the hill and, you know, rescue me or you or any of us. So if that's true, and it is, I can be mad about it, or, I can just take responsibility for it. Okay, I have to create my own life. I have to carve it out. I have to build it. Okay, I'm just going to take that on as a challenge. I'm going to joyfully jump into that game and play it for all it's worth. And that includes all the ups and downs. I've had bankruptcy many years ago. I've had fatal illnesses. I've had a whole pile of stuff, and so have you. I'm not pretending mine are worse than yours. I'm assuming yours are, your situations and struggles and challenges are just as bad or more than mine. So even with that assumption, I can promise you, there is a way for you to create in your life exactly what you want. Now, today I'm going to talk about two magic bullets. Now, we have this joke in the personal development industry and in all kinds of other things. We're looking for a magic bullet. We're looking for some secret thing that'll automatically give us the right answers and make things work. Well, I'm a Harry Potter fan. Maybe you are and maybe you're not. In Harry Potter, they have magic wands. They have time turners where they can go back in time and then redo things and, you know, regrow the bones in the infirmary. I forgot the name of that lady witch who fixes somebody when they fall off the broom playing Quidditch. Okay, we don't have that. But we do have our own wits, our capability, our connection to the divine. We have our intuition. And we have our perseverance. So what does it take to create? If no one's coming, if no one's going to come and hand it to you, it's not going to get delivered by Amazon. And I don't even count things like winning the lottery, because statistics show that most people who win the lottery end up worse off after a few years than they were before they played. So we're not even counting that. How do you create with your own will, your own hands, your own love, your own determination, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy? Now, I put them in that order because I think that's how they show up. Purpose is a choice. You get to choose what you're about. I talk to a lot of people that they think somehow their purpose is going to descend on them in a beam of light. Well, maybe it does for somebody, but not for me. The purpose I have, I chose. I'll tell you why I chose this purpose. My purpose this year is to help 250 million people, you, realize that you're invincible. You can have anything you want. I've done it, and I've helped other people do it. I've watched this process happen, and I know when I'm working on that, I'm way happier, more excited, I make more money, have more fun, and I have better, more influence on others to do good, add good to the world. So I've made it my choice to add good to the world. That is my purpose. How much can I add good to the world? Well, I could run around and just do small acts of kindness, and I might do that, but I want to do it on a larger scale. So I have a podcast, I write books, I'm on this show here. I do, and I speak at many, many summits. And the purpose of all that activity is to help you listening realize that you don't need to stay stuck in ideas and thoughts that you're afraid, in ideas and thoughts that you don't get any breaks, in ideas and thoughts that the world, the universe, or others are conspiring against you. Even if there are some people that are, I don't even care. You and I, we get to build our own life. Fierce ownership is more productive than blaming. Fierce ownership, grabbing your life, every circumstance by the horns, as it were, and then creating with that instead of blaming and being angry. Now, when we get smashed, we might need time to sit down, lick our wounds, take stock, and figure out what to do next. But, you know, sitting in anger and frustration is never the way forward. All right. So a purpose for your life is something you choose, and it can change over time. Mine has. Right now, my purpose as a coach, as an author, as a musician, I have lots of songs that I've written. All of that is designed to inspire, to motivate, to encourage, to lift you listening, to let you believe a 1% more, 2% more, 10% more, that you can have what you want, you can create what you want, and you're not required to stay stuck. You're not required. That is not necessary. All right. So today I want to talk about two things that are fun and powerful to help you create that. Now, we talked for a second about purpose. The second piece, and these aren't the two keys yet, they're coming, purpose, prosperity, and joy. Prosperity comes in lots of ways, but the one we think of first when we use the word prosperity is cash. We all have to eat. We all have to have a roof over our heads. We all have a place to be and to eat and to live and to call our home, or however small or large it is. We have to have a place. Prosperity is an attitude and a feeling. I can feel prosperous and happy living in a small apartment, or I can feel miserable living in a small apartment. I can feel prosperous and happy living in a great big house, like this pictured behind me. That's not where I am right now. It's just a beautiful picture I have. But if I had, and I was sitting there in that room, which I could be, but I'm not, I could be happy in that place, or I could be miserable. The relationships I have with myself or with people in my life could be bad, and I could be sitting in a room that beautiful, angry, frustrated, and not even seeing it, and be only concerned about the negative feelings in my heart. So size and cash doesn't buy happiness. Prosperity, which includes that, comes from adding good to the world, from creating value. Joy is a choice, and you can have joy all during the whole time of creation. All right, so now let's talk about the two distillations. These are two keys. If you're on the path to some kind of personal development, what that means is you've looked at your life and you've said, you know what? I want more. I want to do better than I'm doing it. Now, when you set out on that journey, there's lots of forks in the road. One fork is I'm going to look for the get rich quick scheme, the get thin or get in shape quick scheme. I'm going to look for the easy button. That's one path that a lot of times it's really tempting to take because the amount of effort or work that we imagine on the other road is scary. So we look for the easy button. Where's the hack? Where's the shortcut? Well, there aren't any. And I'm not saying there are not easier ways to get, you know, you can climb up a mountain the hard way and there might be an easier trail, but it still takes the work to scale the elevation from the bottom to the top. That's the trajectory. So you can climb a mountain like this, you can climb it like that, but you're still climbing. So there are no shortcuts. There's no easy button. If you want push-ups, you got to work. If you want wealth, you got to create value. If you want joy, you have to learn to give joy and be joyful. If you live in a world where you collect only, I'm going to collect. You owe me. The world owes me. My friends and relationships, they owe me. That's a tough life, and that won't last very long. I guarantee it. Guaranteed. So what are the things? The first choice is, are you going to stay looking for the easy button and then go down that miserable road with failure after failure after failure? What that looks like in the personal development world and in the physical development is 27 different gym programs, 2,500 memberships, all kinds of diet regimes and so forth that fail and fail and fail and fail. If you're going down personal development, like you want to be more honest, or you want to get over a bad habit or two or 10, you want to make more money, you want to be happier, you want to feel more connected to nature or God or your partner, and you look for a hack, it's not going to work because you have to change who you're being. You have to actually change something. It's one of the exercises I do in the morning when I wake up every day is I do some push-ups. I have different regimes I've done, try to do as many as I can to failure or do different sets of different amounts, you know, different structures. But the bottom line is I'm doing push-ups and doing the push-ups, you know, over time, then I get it, I can do a little bit more and do another couple and, you know, a little bit more and a little bit more. But it's only after the work. It's the same with any physical activity. It's the same with any mental activity. It's the same with an instrument. Like I still practice my piano every day really hard, doing exercises for an hour or so. Why? Because I want to keep the skills. I want to maintain that ability. If you want to create happiness, that's a practice. Joy is a choice. You can be happy in a rainstorm. You can be happy in the sunshine. You can be happy in a small apartment. You can be happy in a mansion. You can be miserable in an apartment or miserable in a mansion. You can be miserable in the rainstorm and miserable in the sunshine. It's all up to me or you. So that's clear. If you've decided you're going to work on personal development, then the question's easy. Well, what are the personal development push-ups? What are they? I call them PD push-ups, personal development push-ups. Well, here's one of them. Now, I call these, when I use these with clients, billion-dollar secrets. And when I first say that sort of thing, it's often the case that someone will look at me like, yeah, right, $1 billion. It's not worth $1 billion. No, you're right. It's worth $1 trillion. It's worth an infinite amount if properly understood and properly applied, because it will let you cause you to be able to make any changes you want in your life about how you behave, about how you think, about what you believe, about the money you make, about the relationships you have, about how happy you are day to day, hour to hour, and even minute to minute. Now, something so powerful that it can change your happiness from minute to minute than your bank account from month to month or year to year, and the level of your happiness and your ability to forgive yourself and others, your ability to experience love and connect to the divine and your creativity, something that is that powerful, billion, trillion, they're just numbers. It's infinitely valuable, and it's only three words. And as soon as I tell you what it is, you're going to say, yeah, whatever. And if that's how you look at it, I promise it won't do anything for you at all. So you can just ignore it right now. Turn it off. But if you're ready to have a tool that is the key to making any change, here it is. Notice and choose. Notice and choose. Now, what in the world does that mean? What does that have to do with making more money? Well, I'll tell you what it has to do with making more money. Money is created when we create value. We go to work, we do a set of activities, we produce an outcome that creates value, we get paid. If you're an entrepreneur, you create some product or service online and you sell it, that you've created value and it creates money. My wife, one of the many things that she's done is she's an antiques and collectibles expert. So she sold things on eBay. But see, that wasn't the listing and selling things on eBay was the final step. She had become an expert in certain kinds of, you know, glassware and china and silver and all kinds of stuff, as well as native artifacts and some other things. But let's just talk about china and silver right now. She was so good. I would go to with her to auction sales sometimes, and she could sit across the room and tell you what brand it was when the auctioneer held it up. Oh, man, I hope nobody recognizes that. And she'd say some name. I remember one was a Lomonosov, which happens to be a Russian a Russian piece of china that's rare and quite expensive. And she was hoping that the auctioneer didn't know what it was and perhaps would mispronounce the name. And sure enough, he did. And she got it for $50 and sold it for $500. The producing value part is this. She goes to the auction. She's done her research and homework. She knows a good deal when she sees it. She buys things. She takes them home, makes sure they're clean, puts excellent pictures up, and creates the listing. So those are all the personal development push-ups to create the cash. So it isn't buy it for 50, sell it for 500. It's all the effort of going to the auction, having done all the work to know what it is and that it's valuable and what it will likely sell for, and then do the work of getting it pictured, good pictures, et cetera, you know the drill. So that is the process of producing value. Now, where can you create value? Well, one of the things I do when I go speak at a conference, in fact, in just in a month or two, I'm going to Philadelphia to speak at a conference, and I'm going to talk there about this very thing. If you've lived very much of life at all, 30s, even if you're in your 30s or 40s, maybe even in your 20s, you have already had experiences in your life that are unique to you that would be of value to someone if you were able to talk to them about that. I can't tell you how many people I've interviewed on this show and on my podcast where the experiences they have had, and I draw them out as we have these interviews, are so powerful and profound, and they're busy helping people. I just interviewed somebody for a podcast. It's not even published yet. He created a very successful business and then hired somebody to run it. And then he had time. And what he decided to do with his time is, guess what? Teach entrepreneurship. No surprise. He couldn't get a job teaching at a college because he didn't have teaching creds. So you know what he did instead? He went to the prison and taught prisoners, minimum security prison, taught those folks about entrepreneurship. And guess what? Very successful, has created a program that shut down during the pandemic and then at post-pandemic now has started up again. And several hundred people a year go through that program, people that have not only been to prison, but recovering from addictions or traumatic relationships, et cetera, et cetera. So in that way, he's creating value. He's creating value. That's how you get paid. If you want to create cash, you create value. Now, you right here listening, you have at least 10 ways that you can create value. Some will pay you more than others. But the idea, when I ask people, well, I don't know, I can't do anything, that is never true. Now, back to notice and choose. If you notice, I don't have the money in my bank account that I want. I run out on the 20th of the month and there's 10 days left and I have to scrimp and wheedle and get by till I get paid again, making that up. I notice that. My next step is to choose. Screw it. That's just how it is. I'm just going to get by every month and complain. Okay, fair enough. That's my choice. I notice the problem and I choose nothing except to continue to complain. That's fine. Free to do that. Notice and choose. On the other hand, if I notice that and I choose, I wonder what else I could do. And then I explore other ways to create value. I can find other ways to make more money. Now, some ways work better and faster than others. If I create a labor-intensive way to make more money, then I can't, you know, I'm going to use up all my free time and I won't make a lot. So I could notice that. Well, I notice if I do this to make more money, that's too hard. Okay, I won't have any time left. Well, what else can I do? But the whole thing is a process of noticing and choosing, noticing and choosing. That only is derailed when we give up or when we get tangled up in stories. Now, I want to talk about this getting tangled up in stories for a minute, because this right here, what we're going to talk about right now, is the giant roadblock, I guess, for most people getting from where they are to where they want to go. The giant roadblock is getting tangled up in stories. And I'll give you some examples. I have a client right now whose constant theme is, I'm too busy. I'm overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed is a story that comes from a victim mindset, because that's essentially saying to life, I'm being attacked by all these things. I'm overwhelmed, like you somehow don't have a choice about what you do. Well, I'm noticing my calendar. My day is too full day after day. Okay, choose. What am I going to do about it? Nothing, bitch. Okay. Then you get the outcome of that notice and choose. On the other hand, you look at your calendar and you say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to end this obligation. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to trade some time here. Notice and choose. Now, as simple as that sounds, it is the key to massive success. One of the things you might notice, you might say, well, I notice that I want to create more money, since that's what we're talking about right now. And I think I love to write. So I'm going to choose to write and write a fiction book and sell it. Okay, you can notice and choose. Then you can say, well, I really don't know how to do this and I've never done anything before, but I'm just going to stumble along and do it alone. That is noticing and choosing. Another notice and choose is, you know, I don't know how to do this. I'd like to get it done really quick. I wonder where I can find a meetup group, a YouTube channel, a book writers group, the writers forum on Facebook. I wonder where I can find some ideas, support, shortcuts to get my writing started. Oh, that's a different notice and choose. Okay. So, and that would be a shortcut, a hack, if you will. I said, I know there's no hacks, but I mean, it doesn't get rid of the work. You still have to write, right? Ooh, write, two writes, write, W-R-I-T-E, write, R-I-G-H-T, write. Okay, So then as you're going along, you may notice, oh, I'm really discouraged. This is taking too long. I'll never get this done. That is getting tangled up in a story. Because here's the truth. If I start where I am and I keep walking toward a destination, I'm going to get there. I don't know how long it will take. I don't know how many times it will rain or what else will happen. But if I live in Edmonton, Alberta. Now, where I live is in one part of the city. And if I want to go to some part that's, you know, 20 kilometers away, 12 miles, if I just get outside and start walking, I'll get there. However long it's going to take. The only reason I won't is if I quit. I stop going. That's getting tangled up in stories. It's too hard. Well, that's a choice. That's just a choice. If I want to get there bad enough, I'll overcome the obstacles. I'll wait for the right traffic lights. Maybe I'll hitch a ride with somebody, but I will take the actions that are necessary. Why? Because I want it bad enough. So notice and choose is a simple couplet designed to remind me and you, but I created it for me, that I have unlimited control and infinite opportunity. I want you to think about that. I'm not saying unlimited control and infinite opportunity to say some gigantic things for effect. What I know is the stories we live in limit us sooner and faster than any real limits that exist in the world. You get tired. You get bored. You get stuck in the story of I can't. You might get stuck in the story of I won't sell any. Nobody will care. They're going to tell me no anyway if you're going to ask for something. You want to create a repair a relationship. Oh, I'd really like to fix that, but I don't want to go talk to them because I'm sure they'll reject me and yell at me and then it won't work anyway. So what's the use? Well, that's getting tangled up in the story. You don't know what happens. You don't know what will happen. And even if you are right, let's take the example of fixing a relationship. Even if you say to yourself, I believe they will reject this and get angry. You don't know that. If you go make the repair attempt you were considering and they do reject you and get angry, it doesn't matter because you have taken the action that you control. So it is no longer, well, I could do this, but I'm afraid. You did it. It didn't turn out like you wanted. So you can say, gee, that's sad. And then again, notice and choose. Well, I noticed that didn't work. What else can I do? You might decide nothing for a week or a month. That's what I choose. But now you can choose it with a clear conscience and an open heart. I sincerely laid my heart out there, laid it on the line, and they rejected it for their own purpose and story. That's fine. I choose to forgive. I choose to be happy. I choose joy because you can't make me not. And now I have no doubts. I have no negative feeling, no what if, no woulda, coulda, shoulda. None of that even exists. Why? Because I noticed that there was a problem. I chose to do something about it. And the outcome is whatever it is. I don't care. If it doesn't work like I want, okay, I noticed that that didn't work. Then I have a choice to choose again. Leave it alone, make my peace with it, let it go, or wow, that didn't work. What is plan B? What is plan B? There's a thought. You could have a plan B. You could have another choice, another thing to do. Well, maybe if I write a letter, maybe this, that, and the other. I'm not trying to tell you what would work. I don't know. But what I know is you own the right to notice and choose. And I can promise you, the minute you abdicate the right to notice and choose, you lose control of the situation, whatever it is. Your ability to make more money, fix a relationship, move forward, personal development of any kind, become less afraid of public speaking or whatever. The minute you quit with your notice and choose, you stop, you stagnate, you're done, you're finished. This is as far as I'm going to go. The converse is also true. As long as I keep noticing where I am, what happened, and then making a conscious choice about growth, then your growth and your opportunity never end. Never. All right, so that is the first of two magic keys that I want to give you. Really simple. Notice and choose. The pitfalls is we usually don't notice, we blame, and then we sit and do nothing. That is still noticing and choosing, but we're choosing everything that is the antithesis to growth and happiness and answering those questions. Gee, I wonder what would happen if, you know, that kind of thing. All right. Now, there's another one that's another one of these billion-dollar secrets. And it's just as simple as the other one and just as powerful. So I'm going to lay a little groundwork for this one so you'll understand it. Today, in our at least Western civilization, U.S. and Canada and lots of Europe, here's how we, one of the ways we communicate. If you ask someone, are you going to be, will you come here, whatever it is, to this meeting or this party or this gathering, and they say, yeah, sure. Do you know whether they'll be there for sure or not? A lot of it depends on the relationship you have, but quite often, here's what the subtext is. Yes, I will. Then the unspoken part, comma, if I remember, comma, if I still feel like it, comma, if I don't get a better offer, comma, or if you don't piss me off between now and then. Now, if any one of those things happen and they don't show up for you and you ask later, why didn't you come? Oh, I forgot. Our agreement, our societal unspoken agreement is, we're, oh, yeah, too bad. Okay. And we let it go. Or, oh, you know, this concert came up and I just couldn't miss that. Or, oh, you know, I thought about it, but I just didn't feel like it. Those kind of caveats are sort of woven in, and we kind of agree not to call each other on them. And you know that because if someone really wants to convince you they're going to do something, then they'll add all kinds of other language. Oh, no, really, I swear, I promise, I'll do it. You know, that kind of thing. So that's just a little background. We don't really have real commitments in our language, in our society, and even in contracts. You know, a huge part of the contract negotiation is spent over enforcement position, provisions, because we don't trust, we don't have the framework where things are really committed. Now, we're not going to be able to control one single thing that anyone else says or does. I know that. But you know what's sad? You know where we are the worst offenders of that? It's not in our commitments to others, because I have clients all the time and people that aren't clients, just people I talk to that say, well, as I absolutely bulletproof keep my commitment to others. If I say I'm going to do it, I'll bust my ass. I'll do whatever it is. I'll get it done. And then I ask if they treat themselves the same way, meaning if they make themselves a promise, you know, get this horrified look. Well, no, you know, I'll clean the garage this weekend. I'll paint this room. I'll start, you know, with my gym routine or, you know, saving money or whatever it is. And we don't do it. And we don't. 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 And we don't think anything of it. What happens when we do that is we teach ourselves, and this has nothing to do with anybody else, we teach ourselves we can't be trusted. That the words that we speak to ourselves, internal dialogue, or even that we say out loud for our own benefit, are wishful thinking. Sometimes they're like, oh, they're there. You know, we're pretending like we're making progress. We're pretending like we're committed to something when we're really not. Now, here I'm going to say something that might make you mad, controversial. That's fine. That's what we're doing here. You can't be more truthful to others than you are to yourself. You can't love someone else more than you love yourself. You can't serve someone else better than you truly serve your own needs. Now, those might be bold and you might think I'm full of crap, but here's the real key to personal integrity and growth and getting goals accomplished. So if you have a history of procrastinating, of saying you'll do things and then not quite getting them done, especially to yourself, of starting things and not finishing them, of making grand predictions and goals and things, and then, you know, in a day, a week, a month or so, they just kind of slide away. If that's you, and that's most folks, you don't really keep your word, then this $1 billion secret is for you. And it's this simple. I said it, I did it. Now you might think, okay, here's another one of these silly little phrases that doesn't mean anything, but let's take it apart because it will change your whole world. We all have the habit of setting goals that if we're really lucky and if nothing gets in the way, we might accomplish. I've done that 1,000 times. Maybe you have too. Here's what I noticed when I did that. I set goals and then didn't accomplish them. Set goals and didn't accomplish them. I always felt like I was behind the eight ball. And in fact, it got to be such a regular thing that my beloved wife, Joy, and I, we used to call it the eight ball feeling. Like I'm always behind the eight ball, never catching up. You want to end all that? Here is the secret to ending that. If you have a habit of saying things to yourself or to others and then not completing them, setting goals and not achieving them, then here's the first step. Shrink the goal. Now you might say, well, that's just taking the easy way out. No, it's not. If you shrink your goals, and keep shrinking them until I said it, I did it, is true for everything that comes out of your mouth. Like shrink the goals until I said it, I did it, is the truth of your life. What happens then is you now teach yourself a new truth. When you make goals or promises, especially to yourself, and you don't keep them, you teach yourself you can't be trusted, you're a liar, you're a wishful thinker, you're a daydreamer, and you know, you're never going to get it done. That's what we teach ourselves. If I shrink the goal, I may say, well, I can do better than that. Well, maybe you can. But that isn't the point here. The point is to create a new way of being. The new way of being is to be your word. I am my word. I speak only truth. I do everything I say. So if you shrink the goals, whatever your goals are, think about this on a daily basis. Shrink, 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 shrink until I said it, I did it is bulletproof. No exceptions, no bulletproof. Here's what happens. You teach yourself you can be trusted. Now, you, in doing this, you may quickly learn to be a lot more careful about what you say. Promise less, tell people no a lot more. Good. Good. Because here's a promise that is so big you're not going to believe me, but it's true anyway. When I said it, I did it, is the truth of your life, you can have anything you want. When you shrink your goals and you create, I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. For every single thing that comes out of your mouth, the energy in you and around you and from you changes. The energy coming to you changes. Heaven moves. the earth changes, the way things work changes. You have become a person of integrity. When you speak, you create it. You speak it, you create it. Now, the reason I said shrink the goals is if that isn't who you are right now, it's really hard to start with significant things because you're in the habit, as I was, of saying all kinds of stuff that I wanted to do, that I meant to do, but I couldn't deliver. When I shrunk goals and I got it to where if I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. When that became true, who I was changed. I was the person who only speaks truth. I was the person who does everything they say. With that energy, I became a different person, and so will you. Increasing the size of goals is simple. Okay, that's easy, especially when you do it in the energy of truth. So if I said it, I did it. You shrink your goals until I said it, I did it is how you live with everything you say. And you're more careful about what you say, what happens is you become a different person. Then it's easier to say, well, you know what? I can do 5% more. And keep, I said it, I did it. I call it the success cadence. I said it, I did it, I said it, I did it, I said it, I did it. When that simple phrase becomes the bedrock truth of your life, then you will be able to accomplish anything. At all. Because here's why. Several things change. You've become a person of complete integrity. All of the energy that we all spend feeling bad about stuff we didn't do or apologizing or fixing mistakes, that all or nearly all evaporates. So you have way more energy. You've become a person of your word. And it is a simple, simple matter to increase the size of your goals, and you'll find that I said it, I did it, person stays with you. So those are two simple but super powerful things. And I can make you a promise. If you adopt notice and choose, in other words, you notice where you are with respect to any goal, and then you choose what to do about it, and you do it consciously, you stay in the game. You stay in the game. Notice, choose. And the second one is, I said it, I did it. In other words, you no longer speak anything that you don't cause to come to pass. Those two things by themselves will give you the key to unlock any accomplishment you want, whether it's an accomplishment inside of your own heart, inside of your own life, about who you're being, about whether or not you tell the truth, about being honest, about making money, about creating business, about creating or repairing relationships. All of those things are available to you and me, to any of us, if we do the work. So I want to invite you to consider these two things. Notice and choose. And I said it, I did it. Now, how to get started on this is to start with something really, really simple. Really simple. Don't take on the world. Don't start a really large, complicated project. That's just like I said it, I did it with too big of goals. Pick something simple, something you know you can win at, and then continue the cycle of winning. Now, I share these with you tonight on this Ultimate Life episode because I want you to have something that you can experiment with right now, right this minute. And you can do it with absolutely knowing that it's successful, but knowing at that it will be successful for you, but knowing at the same time it's not a hack and there isn't an easy button. It is a true tool to recalibrate your integrity. It's a true tool to recalibrate your vision about, you know, what you say you want and what you can accomplish. Those are just two of many tools that I have both discovered and used in my own life to create purpose, prosperity, joy, all the time, every day, and at the same time, coach others and help them. Now, I want to offer you this URL here, www.yourultimatelife.ca. Invite you to go there and get some free stuff that I have for you. It's free, cash-wise, but it'll cost you time and energy, and the benefits will be infinite and will last the rest of your life as you move forward and create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.